Welcome to the NFL Blitz on University of Radio York and URY podcasts. Coming up on today's show, we review yesterday's game between the Chiefs and the Broncos. We preview all other games taking place in Week 7 as Dimes takes on Murray, Texans take on Indy, and Duck takes on a bye week of duck calling. We look at some of the news stories from the last week, including Jalen Ramsey, officiating and concussions, and we discuss who our favourite and least favourite teams are in the power rankings. And that's coming up on today's NFL Blitz.
Radio by students, for students.
URY.
Relatively weird start to the show. Then my audio clip didn't load like it was meant to, and then I said good evening. So what a great start. We're going to try and figure out what microphone Josh is on. There he is. Hello, Josh.
Hi there.
How's your week been?
As any third year's is, busy.
Have you recovered?
I have.
I mentioned your injury on Tuesday's show, so I thought I'd update everyone. So a few things to discuss before we actually get into the thick of it. First of all, our shows will not be appearing on Mixcloud anymore. The reason for that is that we're not going to be playing music. We might actually play music today if we run out of stuff. That'll only be desperation, though. But usually we will not be doing music. You will be able to get our shows after we've finished by going to URY Podcasts. To do that, just go on URY.org.uk and find the podcast section. Second of all, the reason we're doing it today, as opposed to yesterday, I was at the at Leeds United's 100th birthday party in Leeds at Elland Road, or at the Santino Pavilion opposite
Shameless
Elland
brag.
Road.
Shameless brag.
No, there is a reason I'm mentioning it. Trust me, we will get to the NFL. Now, the part that's shameless is this part. I've written an article about Leeds United and their 100 years and why they mean so much to the fans. That's up on Noosa's website. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, then you'll be able to find it there as well. The reason I mention it, though, is that you might know the 49ers have a small stake in Leeds United, or 49ers Enterprise, I think they're called, which own the San Francisco 49ers. So they also own a small stake in Leeds.
Sure.
And the CEO, Jed York, not only put a birthday message up on Twitter, but he also sent in a video at this event last night, and he was saying, oh, I wish I could be with you all, marching on together, and other great filler. So yeah, just thought I'd mention that because it's an interesting NFL news story, and I don't know how many people know about the 49ers partnership with Leeds. I don't know why Leeds would partner with a all red wearing team. Well, red and gold, but still, they wear red. That's not a Leeds colour.
It's like the most anti-Leeds colour you can get, isn't it, surely?
Yeah. Who should Man United join up with who wears white?
I mean, you see, I like the Dolphins, so I'm not going to say that, but I mean, we're both equally terrible, both United and the Dolphins at that point, so
yeah,
we should probably go with that, to be honest.
That's an attack on Man United if I've ever seen one.
I mean, I can say that.
So they're going to win a game. They have won a game this year. Dolphins, maybe not. And also, my favourite missed moment from last week, which we didn't discuss, I saw this on the Ravens Reddit, credit to whoever put it up. Is it John Harbaugh at Baltimore? Jim's at Michigan, right? John's, I think, Baltimore.
I'm like
the Harbaugh who's been at Baltimore.
70% sure, yeah.
He said to Lamar Jackson, just before he scored a touchdown run, we've got four downs here, Lamar. Let's go four downs. And Lamar Jackson immediately went, oh no, we're scoring here. And Harbaugh went, okay, oh, good, do that then.
Nice, you know.
I think that's quite a genius strategy. Yeah. You know, score. It's a good strategy in the NFL. It works.
I mean, it's a really convoluted plan, that is. Yeah.
Well, there's always the famous thing about... Sorry, we are an NFL show, but there's the famous thing about Ferguson when he first went to Man United, where his tactics essentially boil down to, if we score more than them, we win. Which works
genius.
100% of the time, turns out. Also, I'm very pleased to announce we have a sponsor for today's episode.
Okay.
So, got a bit of a thing from the sponsor. Are you having back problems? Something that's stopping you from doing what you love, which can be shouting at wide receivers and quarterbacks? Can you think of no other part of the body that you can use as an excuse to keep you out several weeks? If this is the case, then why not try moving to the LA Rams? Moving to the LA Rams has proven to work 100% of the time on back problems in the one case where this has happened. So, if you're struggling with a so-called back problem that no doctor can actually see or diagnose, then why not try moving to the LA Rams? It might be the solution for you. Just ask our celebrity spokesperson, Jalen Ramsey, if you want more information. I'm pleased with that.
That was seamlessly put in.
Yeah.
Keep up to date with shows, news and more.
Find us on Facebook and Twitter at URY1350.
Okay, let's start with that not-so-subtle news then. Jalen Ramsey has been traded to the LA Rams for this year's first-round pick, next year's first-round pick, and this year's second-round pick, which is quite a haul for Jalen Ramsey. Now, my favourite part about this whole thing is that if you rearrange the letters in his last name, it becomes Ram? Yes. It's very simple, but I enjoy it.
It's obviously divine intervention in that case, isn't it?
Yes, so...
Very poetic.
A first-round pick this year, next year's first-round, and this year's second-round, is that too much?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if you think about the longevity you've got there just in that trade and the usefulness of those assets, there's potential there, you know.
Yeah.
If someone offers you that, you snatch the hand off, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. This feels like it's going to be one of them, big defining trades.
You look back
sort of like it,
yeah.
Sort of like the Herschel Walker trade back in the 1980s. And it usually seems to be the team getting the draft picks who wins that. What this strikes me as is one of these trades where it's a team thinking they're one move away from a title. I don't think
it's
the Rams are
optimistic, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't think the Rams are one trade away from a title.
No.
This feels like one of them things where it's like we just need to put the final person into place and then we'll roll out the championships. Colts probably did with it with them. Trent Richardson back in 2012. That worked. Hi, Trent. If you're listening, I wonder where he is now. He played for the Birmingham Irons last year in the AAF. Still missing open lanes somehow. Can't be that difficult.
I mean, at this point,
I don't think anyone knows where he is.
I mean, like you say, it's...
Maybe he's in the XFL.
I wouldn't say it's so much of a punt, but you are putting a lot on that one trade going right.
Yeah.
And it does sort of smell of the same sort of optimism the Falcons had a few years back. And if you look at their record now and how they're doing, I'd honestly take the picks at this point, not the player.
So I'm just rearranging furniture. There we go. And that's something I should have probably done before the start of the show, but yeah. So the only thing that I can say really in favour of the Rams is that if Sean McVay needs help anywhere, it's going to be on defence, right? I think he could probably take a lower draft pick with an offensive player and turn them into a really good player. And if you do think that the Rams can get back up to the level they were at last year, and they were a good team last year.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
It seems like everyone figured them out there. But if they can get back to where they were last year, then this would be that one trade. If they'd made this choice at the beginning of the year when we all thought they were still fantastic, then I don't think as many people would be questioning it as they are now. So it seems like one of them where it's kind of like, I'm so sorry. It's kind of like the Minka Fitzpatrick trade for the Steelers. it's filled up a hole.
You monster, you said you wouldn't bring that back up.
No, I didn't.
Okay, then quit torturing me with it then.
Do you want to leave the room as I talk for Minka Fitzpatrick?
Lord Minka over me then, go on.
Yeah, so it seems like one of them where you know what you need. You see this guy's going to be able to easily cover that. He's going to be with you for years to come, fingers crossed. And therefore it's better than taking a risk in the draft. It kind of feels like what they're doing on Jalen Ramsey, the Rams. It feels like they're going, if we get him, we know what we're getting. Whereas if we go for the draft, it's a much bigger risk. And do we trust McVay and Wade Phillips to turn that player into a player as good as Jalen Ramsey.
No, I do get that, but then by the same token, what happens if... No, I agree with what you say regarding if this is the start of the season, no one bats an eyelid, but it's less of a story.
I mean, everyone would still bat an eyelid at the draft picks they're giving up anyway, but I feel like we'd be less judgmental on the idea that they can spend all these draft picks and get one player in return.
But then, if this strategy relies on them getting back to that level. If they don't get back to that level, especially on offense, then what? Therein lies the risk, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You have that risk of just completely falling through because you don't reach that level, and then all of a sudden you can't rebuild again because you don't have those same draft picks.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network said something I quite liked. New Rams cornerback Jalen Ramsey was listed with a back injury on their practice report, but was a full participant in training. A big step towards his recovery, one that also coincided with a change in scenery. I think I saw a hit snail on the head. Right. On Tuesday's show, we talked about officiating in the NFL. The league, it seems, has finally admitted it has a problem. That's always the first step, admitting you have a problem.
At
the full meeting, the owners meeting, which we discussed on Tuesday, top of the agenda, and there's been noises that whilst they're not going to deal with anything now, it seems like, they are going to be taking a serious look at the end of the year, and that can only be a positive.
Yeah, no, definitely. It seems like, especially this season, it has come to the fore. I mean, you'd have to say Roger Goodell showed his cards last January. He talks about refs being only human, and once you sort of do that and admit the underlying fault, you can't really go back from there, I don't think. And, I mean, this was really highlighted in the Chiefs game against Houston the other day. Travis Kelce, that call, I mean, what can you say about that? There was the officials got right, you know, referees pick up a flag, and the exact reasoning was, after discussion, the contact that was potentially a hold was while the ball was in the air. It is not pass interference because it was not on the receiver that caught the ball, right? Problem there, Kelce was the intended receiver.
God.
And actually, when you look at Mahomes' press conference after, you know, he talks about the design of the play and that Kelce was running a dual move. He's faking to the sideline and then running back onto the end route. Well, I really don't see how the officials missed that. And it's one highlight of a problem that's been getting considerably worse, I think, for the last couple of years, actually. And it's glad to see that, like you say, they're no longer in denial, the NFL.
Yeah.
And at some point, something has to be done because the reputation of the league is at stake.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what it feels like for me. It feels like when we had the replacement refs in, what was that, 2012, 2013? The Fail Mary.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, memories, eh? But, yeah, I'll be honest. I heard an interview yesterday. I think it was Rich McKay, who used to be the GM of the Falcons. Okay. And the... I think he might be the president of the Falcons. I don't know if he's moved to a job in the NFL and I just haven't found out, but that's what it sounded like. It might not have been him, for the record, but it was this guy who seems to be very much towing the line, like trying to say that changes need to be made whilst at the same time
vilifying the refs.
Yeah, without having over refs, because obviously then that leads to a walkout and that leads to replacement refs again, and we all remember how that worked. So it'll be an interesting time going forward, especially because whilst it's bad to have a game be affected in these early weeks by bad refereeing, imagine if this carries through into the playoffs and into the Super Bowl. I mean, this whole sort of thing with reviewable pass interference came in because of the
Saints.
Dreadful call in the Saints-Rams game. So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen then if something of that level happens. It'll be very interesting to see.
No, I agree with that, and I would say that you do think they're dealing with it down at this point in the road of the season because they don't want a completely exacerbated situation like they had last year in the playoffs, crucial games, where officiating loses teams points and games. You know, we all know, you know, football games are such fine margins, and it's getting to the point where proper primetime games in postseason are getting affected by this. And that's when you lose viewership, you lose the support, yeah. The reputation goes down the pan. So it feels slightly desperate, I will admit that, but at the same time, they have to do something now, because if this sort of call happens, playoffs, you know, championship games, that really, really hurts the league.
Okay, let's go through the rest of the stories. Then Miles Garrett has been punched in the face after a fan. I've got to try and get my facts right, because I didn't write this down. I really haven't had time to prep this week, as I was telling you before the show. But Miles Garrett, a fan came up to him, got out of his car, went up to him, took a picture of him, and then punched him in the face. Which, I'll be honest...
There's a roller coaster there, isn't there?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I... Sorry to brag again. I met a few Leeds players yesterday, and I didn't punch any of them in the face after getting a picture of them. I don't think it's the normal thing to do.
But did you want to?
No. No, I didn't... I'm not going to make that joke. Ross McCormack wasn't there. I just named a player. I was going to name a player who was actually at the event, but I didn't want to because that would have been harsh. So, yeah, apparently Cleveland police are looking into it. I can't remember what progress they've made. Apparently they've started trying to identify him. So, interesting times ahead. I'm guessing it's a Cleveland fan, right? Because it was supposed to be in Cleveland. And I can't imagine any other fan really readily stopping to get a picture of Miles Garrett.
No.
So why would you go, I want to meet Miles Garrett, oh, and also I want to punch him in the face? Also, why would you punch Miles Garrett in the face? Because, you know, he don't look like a man who most people could win a fight against.
No. I do see your idea. There's a lack of logic there, and I suppose only the guy who's done it knows, but... Very odd story, yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about Brock Osweiler. He's retired from the NFL. He's hanging up his cleats. Some interesting stats about him. His career earnings, $41 million just over. He's never started a full season for a team. He's had a 15-15 career record, 37 touchdowns, 31 interceptions, and won a Super Bowl, and he's retired before 30. That's what I call a good career. I mean, he's not getting into the Hall of Fame, but...
I mean, no.
That's the dream, right? 30 games.
$41 million.
$41 million, 30 games, a Super Bowl.
He's either the luckiest NFL player to have... With that sort of workload and that sort of reward, I mean, the guy's really living his best life at this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. Best. I know it's just slating, but best of luck to you, Brock. Linebacker Miles Jarrett. I'm going to stop now. Miles Jack is what I meant to say. Miles Jarrett has paid to keep water and electricity on for 31 elderly Jacksonville residents this month. The Jags have matched his donation and... I thought I'd written down how much that totals, but I haven't. But that's going to be a lot of money. Sizable figure.
What is his contract worth, actually?
$57 million.
I mean, he can afford it, but he can afford it.
It's still nice, yeah. Can you imagine Antonio Brown doing that?
Well, no, because he's Antonio Brown.
Yes, exactly. You know. I don't think it's quite Walter Payton Man of the Year level. It's not JJ Watt raising $30 million for charity.
But the sentiment's there.
Absolutely. And final news story, coming from CNBC, Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew. This is the title of the article. I didn't have time to read it, but I'm going to definitely read it when I get back. Sure. Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew is known for not spending any money and still drives a used Acura. Now, I didn't really have anything to analyse this. There's nothing really to go into. It's just innately funny.
It's just a bit odd, and
it just adds to the Gardner Minshew character.
The image, yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember if we mentioned it on this show, but before last week's games, he had a quarterback passer. He had a pass completion rating of 69.420.
Okay, that's... I mean, he's not set the world alight, is he, but...
At 69% is quite good. Hmm. It's not the passer rating, it's a completion percentage.
Oh. I thought you were going for the passer rate. I was like, okay.
Sorry, I started saying that and realised I was wrong. Yeah,
I know, in that case,
completion percentage of 69.420.
I say for a minute, I thought, okay, he's lauding this sort of passer rating. What's going on?
Oh, no, no, no. I think Baker Mayfield's about 69, though.
Okay, that makes more sense.
That does make more sense.
We're on Instagram, too.
And they say radio isn't a visual medium.
Follow us at URY 1350.
Decided my headphones are too loud because that nearly destroyed my eardrums. Anyway, let's talk about yesterday's game then. Obviously, sure. Because it's a Friday show. Today we've missed one of the games, and yesterday the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Denver Broncos by a score of 30-6. The Chiefs gave Denver no chance at Mile High, so they bounced back from two straight defeats to continue their hold of the AFC West. However, the game will be overshadowed for Kansas by the injury of Patrick Mahomes on a fourth down quarterback sneak. So, let's talk about his injury then. According to reports from NFL Network's James Palmer, Mahomes suffered a dislocation on his right patella, which is apparently a dislocated kneecap. But he managed to walk from the field and back to the locker room. Chiefs coach Andy Reid said he didn't know how serious the injury was, but added, quote, we're good with whatever direction this thing goes.
Sure.
When I put this up as a podcast, I'm going to cut all of that out.
It's all in the editing, guys.
Yes. That's the advantage of not going on Mixcloud now. All my mistakes can go away.
I mean, if you... there was a quote actually by Denver's defensive end, Shelby Harris, saying that he'd never seen any sort of injury like that before. If you watch it, it's pretty sickening, actually. And his knees all the way to the side. I mean, fair play to Harris, actually. He goes out and says he wishes the best. You know,
yeah.
We need...
Sportsman.
We do need him in this league. And he's right. He's a massive attraction at the NFL at the moment.
Just realised he's the cover guy on Madden, isn't he?
Depends what area, but I think he might be,
yeah. Strikes again. Who was it last year? Antonio Brown. No, he had a great year. That was sarcasm. Yeah, it wasn't a nice injury, though, and we're waiting for updates on how long he could be out for. The Chiefs' backup quarterback is Matt Moore. I don't think they have any third string, or if they do, he's injured.
Well, I mean, Matt Moore was backup at the Dolphins at one point, so
I don't put
too much stock in him.
Behind Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
So the backup backup of the Titans. Then again, is he starting this week, Tannehill? Because I haven't found out.
I'm not sure, but...
Seriously, underprepared. Yeah. Warren Sharp on Twitter said it gave his quarterbacks an eek truth, so that's what he called them. They're the single most efficient play in short yardage. Mahomes suffered a freak friendly fire injury. That's the second friendly fire injury of the year. You remember 2 weeks ago he got his ankle kicked in by his own teammate.
Yeah.
He's more likely to be injured dropping back to pass. He was injured in each of the prior two games when passing, and we don't say don't pass to avoid injury. And I think that they're accurate comments.
No, I've got nothing to disagree with there. At the end of the day, it's a very physical sport and that's going to happen, but I'm not going to say they're reliant on Mahomes because they're not, but he's a massive loss. And if you're a Kansas fan, you're going to want to see him back as soon as possible.
Let's quickly go on to the Denver Broncos. Troy Aikman, I'm guessing in the broadcast, said, this is as bad as an offensive performance as I've ever seen. I'm shocked this many people have stayed at the game. It wasn't great, and I sort of think that was summed up by the fake punt on fourth down.
Yeah.
Now, you might think that's the worst attempt since the Colts won against the Patriots, and that might not be an accident, as both were planned by special teams coach Tom McMahon. The same guy behind the Colts play was the same guy behind this. But then again,
brilliant track record.
This is worse than that, if only because that's how it was designed to work, whereas the Colts play was a... failure of execution.
Yeah.
Right, it was a good video online. The Colts play was just meant to either draw the Patriots offside or get them to have too many men on the field.
Sure.
And if not, they were just going to let the clock run out and take a delay of game. It was never actually meant to be snapped.
Yeah.
And yet the snapper, the centre, did not get that memo and snapped it anyway, which was never meant to happen.
It was, with the Denver one, I do get what you were saying, that he doesn't look panicked in the sense that until you realise you're running... head first.
It's only when he notices there's no wide receiver downfield, just goes, oh.
He gets to the point, and then you almost, if you could see his eyes, you would see the panic there.
Yeah.
At the point, I'm going back at this point. It was a bizarre performance in a way. I mean, Flacco received, 9 sacks in that game? The offensive line repeatedly coming undone. It was an exceptionally tepid performance by them, and Denver offered nothing really going forward, and the onus came on Flacco at a point. I mean, yeah, he didn't have a good game, but I'm not going to blame him so much because he just didn't have that protection. He looked exposed throughout the game, and you're never going to have good, you know, any completions or a good game when you don't have that sort of protection to have time to pick a pass.
Yeah, Herbie Tepe, who guy on Twitter, I think he's a reporter, said when coach Andy Reid was asked his reaction on getting his 200th career win, he went, "I'm old." And final thing, Ryan Konigsberg, Emmanuel Sanders said, when he was asked what went wrong on the Broncos' offense, said, "You know the answer. You watched the same game. I don't think he'd be a good pundit."
Yeah, not so much.
Emmanuel, give us your reaction. Other viewers should be able to get their own reaction. They've watched this game. They're adults.
That's obviously what pundits are for.
Yes,
yeah.
Obviously. Andy Reid gets his 200th win as the Chiefs go 5-2, leading the AFC West. And bad news for UK Chiefs fans. They have a second week on prime time when they face the Packers at home on the Sunday Night Football. The Broncos, meanwhile, sit in the basement of the AFC West on the exact opposite record. They've got 2-5. They travel to Indy next week to face the Colts.
Come and make radio with us. Join URY now.
URY.org.uk/get involved.
Okay, let's go on to the games then for remaining games for week 7 of the NFL. Yeah, we're on week 7. Good. I already said that. What we're going to do is going to switch between Josh and me to pick our favourite games in the next week. We'll be predicting the results of those games, and when we think a team is certain to win their game, we're going to lock in that prediction. We only have one lock per week. Sure. My record last week, I said I'd finally tell you, it was 9-5. Got off to a really good start. I think I was about 8-2, and then everything else just went downhill straight afterwards. So 9-5 in the end. So let's see if we can beat that this week. And Josh, because it's the first time you've been doing the preview, I'm going to let you pick.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to start with my side, but for a very pessimistic outlook, the Dolphins at the Bills.
Okay, you're going to have to do a lot of this because I've got no notes of it.
So I can lock this in straight away as a Bills win.
Oh, boy.
I mean, whilst Fitzmagic / Tragic has come off of a week 6 game with, I think, 106.7 QB rating, he did, well, maybe the best of bad bunch. Buffalo's defence is just far too good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're allowing third least yards per game with 275, fourth least points per game with 14. And if you look at Miami, last on completion percentage, last in passer rating, and 31st in yards per attempt. The offence is obviously trash, and you know, you don't have to be a genius to see that, but Buffalo's defence is in its own right so good that, I mean, I'd say I don't see how Miami score here, but if I was going to say anything, we're talking maybe 27-3, 20, you know,
yeah,
something along those lines. I just don't see Miami's offence getting anything.
That's a good result for Miami though, right?
I mean,
tank.
I mean, if you subscribe to the, you know, the theory, which I actually do, that at this point the season's gone, tank, get that number one draft pick,
yeah,
you know, look at the rebuilds, then yeah. But and I think that was exemplified actually in last week's game, in that and I did subscribe to the comments you made, in that Washington, the performance from Washington is worse because they are arguably as bad as the Dolphins, but they are trying to be good. The
yeah.
Dolphins' game plan is actually working for the season. Washington are actually not trying to tank
yes.
as much. So, but no, I can only see the Bills taking the win here.
Big thanks, by the way, for mentioning tank bowl, because that's one of my favourite terms. Really like that. Yeah, I'm going to be joining you. I'm going to say a Bills victory in this game. Okay, my turn, and I'm going for the late fixture. I'm going for the New Orleans Saints travelling to the Chicago Bears. I think this is probably the best game of the whole week, to be honest. It's going to be interesting to see how both teams do. Now, the Bears' offense, which I've wrote down here as a beats, because I wrote this in a rush. The offense has been dreadful. Now, Trubisky is back for this week, we believe, anyway.
Okay.
3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 146 yards per game, and an 81.0 passer rating. I don't know how, just like you say, you don't know how the Dolphins are going to score points. I don't know
yeah.
how the Bears are going to score points in this game. Bearing in mind that the Saints defense have not allowed more than 257 total yards in 3 straight games, they might get a few field goals if they're lucky. Or if Tariq Cohen really takes off.
Sure.
No, I didn't write down how good the Saints' rush defence is. If Tariq Cohen takes off, they could get some points, but really this should be a Saints win. They looked a bit dodgy last week against Jacksonville. We didn't really talk about the game.
Okay.
But they should have probably won by more than 7 points in a 13-6 game, to be honest. They've won four straight, though, with Bridgewater starting. That's what gives you more confidence in the Saints. I'm going to go for Saints winning this. I'm going to say it's probably going to be by more than 10 points.
No, I'd agree with the Saints there. I think, are the Bears as bad as we saw the performance in London? Probably not, but the offense still has massive, massive issues.
But one thing they need to do is essentially use that as ammunition for themselves.
Sure.
They need to come back and show and promise for all the performance for their in front of their home fans. Mm. But I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
Yeah.
No sponsorships unless they're my fake ones. You can't say all Saints.
That was actually a complete coincidence, but
yeah,
you
know. I think actually I'm the one at fault for bringing attention to that, because who knows about?
Yeah, that's on you at this point.
Who knows
point,
about
yeah.
them? If you want to give us money, please send me an email. I'm at now. Right, Josh, you're picking next.
Sure, I'm gonna go for Ravens at Seahawks.
Oh, nice pick.
And
the second best of the late fixtures.
I mean, I think there's a battle of the quarterbacks there. If you look at Lamar Jackson, you've got to say he's as dynamic with his legs as well as his arm. If you look at 13 of his 16 carries last week were designed runs.
Absolutely.
But
that's for 152 yards.
Yeah. But there are a couple of challenges there for the Ravens. One being Seattle linebackers, who are as good, athletic, as dynamic as anything you'll probably see in this league.
Yeah.
And secondly, I mean, two words, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'd have to look at the stats, right? 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions, 124.7 QB rating, which is the first in the league.
Mm.
At what point do we start talking about MVP candidate?
I think last on Tuesday. Because we did.
Yeah. But it's... I mean, I'm not a massive fan of the Ravens' pass defence anyway.
Mm.
I think it will be fairly tight, but I'm going to go for Seahawks just because of the Mercurial Wilson.
Russell Wilson is essentially what Lamar Jackson is trying to get up to.
That's
the end game for Lamar Jackson, is to be Russell Wilson.
No, definitely.
The one thing that worries me is that the Saints' rush defence hasn't been outstanding this year. Baltimore's rush offence has been brilliant this year, best in the league. But I am going to side with you, if only because I trust Russell Wilson more than I trust Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, no,
I trust Pete Carroll more than I trust whatever Harbaugh's at Baltimore. We've discussed this. So yeah, I'm going to be joining you. I am taking the Seahawks to win this game. Okay, let's go on to our next pick, and I'm going early. I'm going for the 6 o'clock start between the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. This is the game I'm going to be watching at 6 o'clock for me. Both teams are coming off of wins against the Chiefs. Obviously, the Colts have had a bye last week. So I just found that a bit interesting. Now, what's going to be important for the Texans is the run game. Carlos Hyde in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs had 116 yards, one touchdown. They've also got the 6th best rushing offense in the league this year. And that's important because Indy's rushing defense is bad. I need to get that into a something I can play on here. Just put bad every time I need it. But Indy's rushing defense is bad. It's the 28th best in the league, and that's 5.1 yards per carry that they're giving up, which is more than staying on schedule. You could just rush the whole game at that rate. Mm. They've also not been great on passing defense, especially on third downs. They're 26th in the league there. On third downs, Houston's offense has been the best on third downs with 51.4% completion. The Colts do have the 4th best rushing offense, so that's going to be important for them. It's essentially a run game.
Sure,
I like rushing games.
Yeah.
That's in terms of yards per game. Marlon Mack had 132 yards against the Chiefs in Week 5, and Houston have the 18th best rush defense in the league. I'm going to side with the Houston Texans on the fact that I think their rush game could really come up strong in this game.
Yeah, sure.
Stronger than the Colts could. And I trust I trust Watson more than I trust Brissett. I trust Texans defense more than I trust the Colts defense, and sure, that's why I'm going to pick Houston.
I mean, I'd like to disagree with there because with Colts,
it makes
at
the
home,
show interesting.
Yeah, no, you know, betting against Colts at home, but the Texans are the better side here, and Deshaun Watson is too much to ignore really in this, I think. And if they get their act together, and I think Texans should win the game, but I don't see it being a particularly, you know, it's not going to be a blowout.
Oh, it's going to be a very close game.
Yeah, no,
it
definitely
could come down to a field goal.
No, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, you have the next pick.
Okay, and I think I'm going to go for the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Good choice. Sunday night football.
And
which means I'm not watching it.
It's an odd one because the Cowboys are on a 3-game losing streak. They need Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott back on track, certainly. But I mean, Carson Wentz has quietly not had a particularly bad season. I mean, 12 touchdowns, okay, 3 interceptions, but
I mean, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions is a good rate.
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. What we're talking, 243 yards per game and a 94.3 rating.
Absolutely.
That's not awful, but their defence is an issue. So 10 of their 14 sacks came against the Jets in week 5.
You're going to have to note the stats you're stealing off me. Hang on. There we go. Carry on.
And so, other than that one game, you've had 4 sacks in the rest of the season. They've not been getting after the quarterback, and that is a massive issue, especially when you've got someone like Dak Prescott on the opposing side. And the game, for me, all comes down to a defensive line for the Eagles, which hasn't been brilliant, so they've given up 13 touchdown passes against a quite disappointing Cowboys offensive line. So, a very tight game for me, but I'm going to say Cowboys edge it.
Yeah. What you're failing to forget is that this game is already pointless because Doug Peterson has already guaranteed victory.
Okay.
He said they're definitely going to win. Now, that doesn't work unless your name is Joe Namath. Yeah. It turns out there's this weird loophole in the NFL rules where if you guarantee victory, you just win.
Obviously, yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not being funny.
Flores has used the opposite to say we're definitely going to lose.
Sure, yeah, that works. I mean, yeah, no, I definitely have more faith in Dak Prescott against the Eagles' secondary than I do against Carson Wentz against the Cowboys' defence.
What's interesting to me is that it's the third season that the Cowboys have started 3-3. They started 3-5 last year and won the NFC East,
sure,
with a record of 10-6. A very good end. I think for me, the Jets have shown the passing weakness of the Cowboys. 338 yards they got last week, and
sure,
the Eagles have the 9th best record in the league in terms of putting up points, 26.8 points per game. The pass defense of the Eagles is 29th though in the league, which is less than ideal.
It's an issue, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and that brings us to the question of how much faith we have in Dak Prescott. For me, the important factor is time of possession. If they're 21st in average time of possession, and they've got the 6th best rush offense, if they get the ball, keep it on the ground and keep burning that clock, they are going to win, and that's what I think is going to happen. I think Kellen Moore is going to guide them to victory. I'm also going for a Dallas win. Have we agreed on every game thus far?
We might have done, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, I'm going to go for the it's sort of a really intriguing game for me, the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Now, there seems to be something very goth in this offense. Very off.
Really?
Very goth.
Really?
It's not my joke, I stole it. Goff's passer rating last week, 60.8. He's got 7 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and 80.8 passer rating, which is 27th for starting quarterbacks. Now, the only thing that's going to help him, of course, is that the Falcons' defense is bad.
Where's
is that
going to
be my thing?
Button. It
my
needs to be your
button.
Thing. Yeah.
30th worst pass defense, and they're the worst defense on third down. They give up a first down 56% of the time. It's just uncomfortable. But Matt Ryan has been exceptional. 14th best. That's the 14th best pass defense for the Rams, and they have an average pass rating of 90.9. I think that that Matt Ryan can smash through that. I think he can go over 100 passer rating at least. It'll be interesting how Jalen Ramsey goes in this game, and this is one I'm least sure about. I was still thinking about it on the way down here, but purely on the
fact. Are you going to the Falcons?
purely on the fact that the Falcons' defense is dreadful, sorry, I'm going for the Rams. I prefer the LA offense against the Falcons' defense as opposed to the Falcons' defense offense against the Rams' defense.
Yeah, no.
I think the Rams' defense could be improved this week, and I still think that Matt Ryan is not going to be able to single-handedly take this team to victory.
No, at the end of the day, your quarterback can be as good as you want, but if you don't have those players around you, you're limited in what you can do, except if you're Russell Wilson, in which case, whatever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I do think this is the game that the Rams' offense needed, to be honest with you. You know, a really disjointed defense for the Falcons, but yeah, I'd have to say I agree with you again. You know, great minds think alike.
Yeah. Bad minds also think alike. Well, that's what
we'll
be.
Yeah, but, you know, we won't.
Okay, which game do you want to pick next?
I'm going to go for the Patriots. Have we gone for the Patriots and the Jets yet?
No, we have not.
Yeah, we'll go for that. Primetime game. I feel for Sam Darnold, I'm not going to lie, up against this Patriots defence, what it has. It leads in takeaways with 16 and in interceptions with 14. And if you look at the Jets, they've allowed 25 sacks this season. All I'm saying to Sam Darnold is hopefully you've got enough pads and protection, because you're getting taken down a lot in this game. Tom Brady is going to pick apart the defence. Jets offence is not going to keep up. I only see this going one way, to be honest with you.
Brilliant. Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. I mean, I don't know what really else to say. Great defence for the Patriots. The offence looked fine last week for the Jets. Looked good, actually, but... Mm-hmm. But this is not the Dallas defense, this is the New England defense, and this is not
very different
Jason Garrett, this is Bill Belichick. So yeah, I'm going to join you, I'm going to say Patriots win. Now, I'm going to pick the next game, and I'm not going to do any work for this game, because it is the Falcons, Cardinals travelling to MetLife Stadium to take on the New York Giants, and Will Heriwood, our authentic American and Giants fan, has done another piece for us, and here it is.
So, the Arizona Cardinals are on the road to face the New York Giants. Finally, we get to see the combination of two top-class quarterbacks slapping against each other as Kyler Murray faces Danny Dimes himself. Honestly, this could go either way. While it's true that the Cardinals' only two wins so far have been against the Bungles and the Falcons, two teams which have looked pretty horrifying this season, they also do have a fairly high-powered offense, and it might be that these two wins are able to bolster them under Cliff Kingsbury. However, their defenses also look pretty weak, and this will easily be the weakest that Danny Dimes has faced against in his NFL career so far. And if he has Saquon Barkley back in, it could very well be an incredibly high-scoring game. While the Giants' defense remains an enigma, that game against the Patriots does give me a bit of hope that they are kind of slowly starting to gel together. You know, the Patriots' offense has been very good this year. They are one of the only undefeated teams so far in the NFL. And it's a good look they were able to do fairly well against the Patriots and make it a really awkwardly scored game for a while. I honestly do think that the Giants could take this. I think that if they lose, it's going to be off the back of their own failures and quite possibly some strokes of brilliance from Kyler Murray. But overall, I think that Danny Dimes, if he has Saquon Barkley back, if he has time to air out the ball against the Cardinals defense, which has looked very lackluster, he should be able to take this. While Kyler Murray is offensively powerful, I think that the defense might be able to scrape up just enough juice to stop him, and from there it'll just be a matter of cleanup.
Thanks, Will. And now we're going to go on to 4 matches, 4 minutes. Let's start off with the Vikings taking on the Detroit Lions. Josh, do you have any view on this?
Oh, there you go.
Okay, we're back. I mean, truthfully, Detroit's secondary is fairly good. Defensive line is built to stop the pass. I think they'll probably try and force Kirk Cousins to make plays he's not particularly comfortable or actually capable of making. I'm going to go for the Lions there, but it's not going to be a particularly pretty game, I don't think.
Yeah, sorry, I was finished off my lodging. Yeah, for me, it really depends on how the Lions rally after last week's game, the decisions that went against them. The rush defence has been abysmal for the Lions most games, and this week they're facing Dalvin Cook, which is going to help exponentially. They've got the 28th best rush defence in the league. The Vikings have the 3rd best rush offence in the league.
Sure.
Kirk Cousins had a 138.4 pass rating last week. 13 of his 29 pass attempts were play actions, where you pretend like you're handing off to the running back and then you turn around and throw it. And if the Lions cannot stop Dalvin Cook, that's going to open up more. And I think that is going to be the case. And it's going to lead to Kirk Cousins having a good passing game and Dalvin Cook having a good running game and the Vikings winning. Let's go on to our next game, Ben. And it is the Raiders taking on the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field. And I cannot find my notes for this game. There they are. It was literally right under the Vikings. The Packers finally showed a great rush defense last week. And again, this is going to be important. They're 29th overall for yards per carry. If they can carry on by their performance from last week, then that's going to mean a much tougher time for Josh Jacobs, which is very much needed. And if he gets used a lot, the rush has proven very effective for the Oakland Raiders. They've got the 7th best rush offense in terms of yards per carry. The pass defense for the Raiders is 22nd. In yards per carry or yards per throw, and they're facing Rodgers this week, and that's going to kill them. Green Bay Packers to win.
Oh, sure. I'm going for the Raiders.
Is this our first disagreement?
I think it might be, yeah.
Oh my God, drama!
I think Packers' pass defence is a big part of the game. I think they'll keep Derek Carr in check, but they need to stop the run. And like you say, Oakland's rush defence is brilliant. That, you know, averaging what 4.9 yards per carry and 134.4 yards per game. I think that might just be too much for the Packers on this occasion.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are playing the Cincinnati Bengals in the early slot, and I'm going for Jaguars win. The 49ers are travelling to their nation's capital to take on Washington. Well, actually they're not, because Washington playing Landover, which is not in DC, it's in Maryland. And I am locking this game up for the San Francisco 49ers. They're definitely going to win this for me.
That's a controversial one, yeah.
It's not that controversial. The 49ers are undefeated and Washington have only been able to beat Miami. Yeah. Yourself?
No, obviously.
I was about to say, if you go for Washington, I was going to wish you all the best.
I like controversy, not, you know,
stupidity.
Stupidity, yeah. Yes.
And finally, the Los Angeles Chargers are taking on the Tennessee Titans. This is one of the 9 p.m. games. This is going to be tough. I think Ryan Tannehill might be starting for the Titans.
Well,
maybe
it's just a Chargers win at that point, then, isn't it? Surely.
Yeah. Well, if Mariota plays, surely it's a Chargers win as well. This is a tough one. I'm gonna just side with the Chargers.
And to say I'd agree with that, it's really a bit of a race to the bottom this game, truth be told. Maybe that's a bit much, but I don't see it being a particularly exciting encounter. But I'll say I'll back Philip Rivers over anything in that game.
Yeah.
Send us a message via the website
ury.org.uk.
Or don't, because we're not going to be reading them. We do not have the time. Okay, for the final 6 minutes, we're going to go through our power rankings. These are the 3 best teams in the league and the 3 worst teams in the league, according to me and Josh. I'm going to get us started, and what we'll do, we'll probably... Do you want to count up from and do each individually, or do you want to do them in chunks of 3?
Should I go for the 3 worst, and do you want to go for
I was going to say, I want to see how we agree and disagree.
Okay,
so I'm going to go for the bottom 3 first.
Yeah, sure.
30th, I've got the Cincinnati Bengals. 31st, I've got Washington. I'm sorry. 32nd, I've got the Miami Dolphins.
Truthfully, I see almost nothing wrong with that. The Dolphins... I just think when you have a side that is looking to tank, has no motivation, and it's technically not good, especially on offense. I mean, I like Josh Rosen, but and actually, truthfully, I think why is Fitzpatrick there at the moment? Give Rosen a bit of a season to see if he could be the answer before doing anything else.
So if you can hear all that noise in the background, I don't know what's going on, to be honest, but yeah.
This is not a team in any great shakes. Are they worse than the Lions in that season or the Browns 0-16? I mean, actually, at this point, you could say they're a contender for that.
Yeah,
I have heard...
It's awful to think of, but...
Yeah, I've heard, you know, reports and opinions saying this is the worst in the Super Bowl era side, and that's not wide of the mark.
I think what annoyed me more than anything and what made me kick them down to last this time, as much as all the arguments I gave on last Thursday's show about how... You know, a team tanking is not as bad as a team doing equally as bad, but who are actually trying.
Yeah.
The thing that shunts me down is not only the fact that they lost to Washington, but also that two-point conversion, which almost seemed like throwing a surrender flag in the air.
Yeah.
When you've got momentum, when you're really playing well, as they were doing in that second half, and you go for the two-point play, you're sort of just giving up. For me.
Truthfully, yeah.
Yeah.
In none of this looks good.
And if it's not giving up, it's an incredibly poor decision making from Brian Flores there. Cincinnati Bengals, I still feel bad about doing this, but I couldn't put the New York Jets in after the performance against the Dallas Cowboys.
No, that's fair.
And yeah, despite the fact they've got this injury list, I just want them to recognise that they should be tanking.
No, that's
get
fair.
Get rid of Dalton, get rid of AJ Green. These are not going to be the players you're going to be building around in the future. Especially if you believe in Zach Taylor, which I'm not sure if I do, to be honest. Okay, let's go for our top three then. And in third, I've got the New England Patriots, which they've gone down despite winning and despite being undefeated. Second, I've got the New Orleans Saints, and first, I've got the 49ers. I think I've got some explaining to do.
Yeah, you do.
The door keeps opening and closing randomly. No one's coming into this studio. It just keeps opening and closing at random.
It's
very odd. It's almost as odd as my choice to put the New England Patriots at third.
I would say, explain yourself, Matt.
I'm starting to feel like this is not like me doing it on purpose just to wind up Patriots fans, but again, it's kind of like last week in that I've not seen anything from the Patriots, despite of their record. To think they're a Super Bowl contender. I've not seen anything to say that they're not a Super Bowl contender. Maybe Tom Brady's not looking as good this year. He's clearly missing Rob Gronkowski. They've got a few injury problems. Josh Gordon springs to mind immediately. But I feel more confident right now in the Saints and the 49ers. I think they've shown a lot about how they're going to get to the Super Bowl. I think they're the two front runners as it stands. And again, it's kind of what you said in our first week here. You can only play what's in front of you.
No, definitely.
But the Saints and the 49ers have been doing better in games that they shouldn't be winning compared to the Patriots in games that they should be winning. And that's kind of why I've gone for this. I put the 49ers first just because I thought the performance on Sunday was exceptional against the LA Rams.
Yeah.
And Robert Saleh and his fist pumps give me far more confidence than any other system in the NFL right now. So what have you gone for, Josh?
I was going to say I've gone for the Saints third, actually, 49ers second, and I did put the Patriots top.
So why have you put the Patriots top, then?
Just because I rate the defence so much.
Yeah, I can go with that.
I mean, if you look at the takeaways, what was it, 16 takeaways for the season, 14 interceptions. You know, they're ranked first in almost every category. I mean, you know, the old saying is, you know, offences win your games, but proper defence wins you championships.
Absolutely.
And I definitely subscribe to that. It's not a pretty way of doing things, but if you look at the
last... Well, it's always been the defense.
Yeah, no,
Steelers,
definitely.
Hasn't
if
it?
You look at the last couple of Super Bowls, they've been actually fairly ugly, but the defence comes through. So...
I don't know. Super Bowl 52 was offence heavy.
Yeah, but I mean...
That's
actually,
the exception, not the rule.
I mean, taking last year's as an example, I actually took a friend to see his first NFL game in the pub, because he was fairly interested.
Oh, yeah, he mentioned I apologised to him.
He saw me like wearing my Dolphins jersey around. He said, you know, you're into the NFL and all that. So I said, yeah, come see the Super Bowl. He says, sure. And I think it was the third quarter, and I forget whether there was an actual score at that point.
I think it was 3-0 at half time.
Okay, 3-0. But it was fairly drab, to say the least.
Yeah.
He turned to me and was like, are all games like this?
No. Luckily, Luckily, Will, who's also with us, he watched his first game last year, and he has somehow gained all that knowledge. He's very interested now, which is very good. But his first game was the NFC Championship game, Rams Saints, and I think I made a good call to invite him around for that game and have that as his first game, because that ended up playing to our advantage, and is why he's on the show now.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go into the 2-minute drill, then final 2 minutes of the show. Even though it's 57 and not 58, but we got a minute of conclusion after that. So, first question: where should Cam Newton go if Carolina no longer want him? I've gone for the Chicago Bears. I think he could turn that team into a Super Bowl contender immediately.
I mean, it's
just him.
Just him. On
just
own.
Him. If he stays healthy.
That's fair. I mean,
where else is he going to get? Where else is there a mix of bad quarterback and really good team around him?
That's actually a fair point. When you look at, I can name half a dozen sides where there's the poor quarterback, but then you look at the rest of the personnel as well, and that's fairly poor as well. So actually, the Bears aren't a bad shot at all.
Yeah. The Nationals have shocked baseball to make the World Series this year. Which team has the best chance of shocking the NFL world and getting to a Super Bowl? I'm going to go for... I've got to go for a relatively surprising team, and I'm going to say it's... Bears. Again. If you remember the last time they made the Super Bowl, was it Grossman who was quarterback? So, you know, they could make it still.
That's fair. As a complete and utter controversial wild card, I mean, the Bills' defense is actually quite good. I mean, obviously they're not going to top the division, because obviously not.
Yeah, no, but, I like that. I like the Bills.
But as good a wild pick. Card pick, and actually as the defense has been performing really well, and obviously as I've said before, I love the defense. I could see them potentially doing it.
Half a minute, free question. Who has a better chance of being in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo? Right now, I'm going to say Garoppolo.
Brady.
Ooh. Will Peyton Manning be remembered as a Bronco or the Colt? I'm going to say Colt, even though I only saw him as a Bronco, well, for the most part.
Colt, just because of the record.
Yes. And which stadium would you most want to visit in the NFL that is not the side you support? I'm going to go either Lambeau Field or the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum.
CenturyLink Field.
Brilliant choice. And that is all the time we have on today's NFL Blitz. Thank you for sticking with us through that. My thanks go to Josh Westwood.
Likewise.
Who joined me on this journey through week 7 of the NFL. We'll have to see how all the games go and our predictions. The NFL Blitz will be back on Tuesday at 6 p.m. when we'll be reviewing all the games we've just talked about in week 7. So, once again, that's been Josh Westwood. I've been Alex Woodward. And don't just have a good weekend. Let the best play in NFL history have an immaculate one. Goodbye.